Adam Schefter on with Pat McAfee. Setting significant playmaker watch in motion. Maybe turning it on its ear, or is it head? Which body part gets turned
things,
up?
You turn things on their ear.
So the head is upright, and then...
The ear is sideways, yeah. Like, so the ear, your ear to the ground, like okay. That, yeah.
That's what that means?
Yeah, I think
turned
when
turned it on its ear?
Yeah, I've always heard it used that way.
And it's meant as a literal ear, like what we hear with.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because then I've seen, like, them use turn the league on its head or turn the league upside down.
Right,
like, guy comes into the league.
That's why I'm a little bit confused as to which body part to go with here.
Is it interchangeable? Which one do you like better? The idea of turning a league on its head? I mean, at that point, then you're doing a handstand.
That sounds more aggressive. That sounds like it's a bigger deal than getting turned on an ear.
I think this is more ear appropriate, though.
What's going on with significant playmaker watch?
Yeah, I think this is an ears to the ground or ear to the ground thing, for sure.
Well, nothing's happened yet. But there is a little development in the last couple hours on this. And that's the rumor that the Steelers have talked to the Seahawks about DK Metcalf. On the heels of Doran saying maybe it's DJ Moore, the Bears receiver. And I think that was just him spitballing. Or do we know?
No, the tweet.
Is this the source that gives him the draft picks before everybody else?
No, I think.
Or is this just Doran's brain?
Yeah, I think to be fair to Doran here, he's not getting this from a source. He was, and he portrayed it this way. He was spitballing. This is a Mueller spitball adjacent thing.
Alex,
like when I go
Highsmith
for Scary Terry. Yeah, okay. this is that kind of thing.
But the Metcalf thing is being reported by insiders, at least one that we know of.
And in Seattle, they have Smith and Jigba. And what,
Tyler Lockett
still hanging
strong.
Around for his 87th year there.
And Metcalf, I mean, he's great. He's really good against everybody, but he is always making plays against the Steelers.
He's a monster physically. I mean, he's a guy who's going to line up outside. It's
and he knows our quarterback.
It's going to be Jordan. Yes. They're bringing the band back together.
They're trying to recreate the 2019 Seahawks.
In the aggregate, yes.
Yeah. Well, how would you feel about Metcalf?
Well, I'm looking up the number.
Donnie, how would you feel
about
that?
I'm looking
up
the number first.
You've got like 9 hours of radio to fill tonight.
No, well, don't make him give away his take now. I'm ready for it. DK Metcalf's a monster.
Well, the audience turns over. And you've got to – how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? He's got a long show. He can get into a bunch of different things.
How do you eat an elephant?
Yeah, one bite at a time. That's the saying.
Never heard it in my life.
Have you ever heard that one, Donnie?
Nope.
Do you think I just made it up?
Yes.
Google it. See if it shows up.
All right. I'm gonna Google how do you eat an elephant.
Donnie, you have a take on Metcalf?
I mean, he's the new guy into the equation, but I mean, I don't have his stuff pulled up in front of me. But I mean, the dude is an absolute freak
like on
of
a
nature.
Deal. He's on a deal right now, Donnie, that pays him $13 million this year in terms of his base. His cap hit is 24.5. His cap hit goes up to 30 next year, and then he's an unrestricted free agent. So you trade for DK Metcalf. Presumably, you want to bring DK Metcalf back on another deal after that because you got 2 years of him left right now. And you could also get out of it, I guess what, after next year or after this year for $11.5 million in dead cap. That's on SpotTrack. I'm very annoyed to tell you, Donnie, that his elephant thing is real. I'm so mad right now.
How to eat an elephant?
There's only one way to eat an elephant, one bite at a time. Yeah. Attributed to notables ranging from St. Francis of Assisi to Desmond Tutu, the Bishop Desmond Tutu.
St. Francis was my confirmation name.
Big Frank. The fact that you were confirmed is startling.
Actually, I would be big time on Team DK Metcalf. You know why? The dude loves candy. He'd be like me out of this jar. Out of the secretary
doesn't it
desk.
Make you
got
mad
that from Marshawn Lynch
in there.
Doesn't it make you mad that a guy can be like built like a brick you know what house like him, one of the most physically imposing players in a league full of them, and he eats some of the most sugary, like unhealthy for you junk food known to man, but
so
it
that,
just doesn't matter.
Well, we had a guy on our AAU team that would eat McDonald's before every game and was in great shape.
That kind of made me connect a couple of dots where you see the big fellas lose a lot of weight after their playing
and the
days,
receivers gain a lot of it.
And you see the skilled guys look like the big fellas.
I hope this guy doesn't hear this or it gets back to him, but I think we know of one Hall of Famer who's literally one of the greatest players ever to come out of this area who is looking a little paunchy.
Revis.
Yes.
Yep.
Darrell put on a bit of poundage after the career ended.
Yeah, I mean,
ended.
And then you see like Alan Faneca, Chris Hope.
Alan
comes
Faneca
in here,
runs marathons.
Yeah, I mean, those guys look like half of what they used to be. They pretty much are.
I would be on board with Metcalf because I think – hopefully you can re-sign DK Metcalf after 2 years of it. And the guy's skills are maybe a little bit redundant with Pickens, but you know what? I had a revelation here, and this doesn't just apply to DK Metcalf, Pony, but sometimes you come on the air and like detail an epiphany you had, and I'm going to detail one for you right now. I have actually been way too defeatist about this entire process.
Yes, you have been.
Whenever
we look at the Arthur Smith stat, no.
Well, just let me
receiver.
Get to my point. Now that you have to eat the elephant 20 bites at a time, let me spool this out here for you. I have been defeatist about the Arthur Smith offense. I've been lukewarm on the idea of getting so and so. I think Metcalf for the price, I probably like. I know there's a bunch of different things: the base, the signing, all that stuff. I kind of like Metcalf weirdly enough better than Ayuk in this situation, hypothetically. But I have been very lukewarm on the idea of doing anything other than trying to draft guys who develop into playmakers because of the Arthur Smith offense, because he hasn't figured out a way to feature two wide receivers really ever in his career as a play caller, whether it's been a head coach or otherwise. And you know what I realized when I was getting ready for the show today?
What did you realize, Malzahn?
So what? Figure it out.
Yep.
Your dad's a billionaire. You're not in danger of like losing your livelihood. You have no pressure on you. Figure it out. Bring somebody else in, put as many playmakers on this team as you possibly can, and tell the coordinator to figure it out. Tell the quarterback, whoever it is, to figure it out. Justin Fields is pretty spotty. I gave him a 4 out of 10 yesterday that he's going to become a great quarterback, but he put up big numbers with DJ Moore last year. That's a big-time receiver. Russell Wilson's on the back 9, maybe the back 5 of his career, back 4. He's won a Super Bowl. For all you could say about him, the man has thrown a lot of touchdowns and not a lot of interceptions. You are not paying a quarterback functionally anything. You are on a quarterback rookie deal despite having those two guys in the fold because they're both making such a small amount of money, combined even. So if this was a true rookie quarterback situation, if it was even Pickett was just still here and everything else had changed the same way it's changed, but Pickett was still the quarterback, I'd be saying, yes, load up on weapons. Do I believe in the quarterback? Not really, but you've got to try to load the deck in his favor as much as you can. So why wouldn't I say that right now?
I'm happy you finally got here. I'm still unsure as to why it took so long, but...
No, I say that about you all the time with other takes.
You could be tardiness on common sense here and everything else.
Donnie, he chose violence today. I don't know why he woke up and
you
chose
guys
violence,
thought that
but he
my,
did.
My axiom was something I just made up.
No, this is how I feel. This is how I felt the first day you said, Chris, you came on the air and said, I just don't think Kenny Pickett has it. This is how I felt. So clearly this is turnabout is fair play here.
I like DK Metcalf more than the San Francisco guys. I happen to like him a lot. Because he passes the eye test even better than both of those guys. And he's at least younger than Debo. And
he's the same age as Debo, basically.
No, I think he's younger.
He's a year younger.
I think he's at least a year younger,
no,
Chris.
Debo's 28. He's 27.
I don't think he's 27.
It's going to be his age 27 season.
He'll turn 27 in December.
Okay, he's going to play most of the year at 26.
Well, then SpotTrack's lying because they call this his age 27 season. Whatever the case may be, you were saying.
We know that he's got a chemistry with Russell Wilson, and I don't think Russell Wilson is their long-term quarterback, but he's probably going to start the season. So you put those two guys together, and you have two, I would say, marvels athletically at wide receiver. If you have both of those guys, and in Metcalf, and this is true for the San Francisco guys too, but you also know that he's fine with sharing because he's had Tyler Lockett in the Seattle offense the entire time. So from his perspective, you don't worry about having him come here and butting heads and locking horns like horny Rams with George Pickens because he showed he can it coexist with
he
another really
good
wide receiver.
I mean, he wants the ball when things go bad. I've seen him on the sidelines. I think he got ticked against the Steelers a little bit. If he doesn't get the ball, he gets mad.
He wears that pacifier mouthpiece, or he used to wear the pacifier mouth guard, which was funny because of how ripped he is and jacked he is.
Was that like meant to be an ironic bit that
probably
he was doing? I mean, I just think you have two guys, if you put Metcalf and Pickens on the outside, who have probably redundant skill sets, but DK Metcalf ran a 4.33 and has a 40-inch vertical and is going about 6'4", 235. So the question becomes, if you're the other team, who are you doubling on a given play?
Correct.
In theory. One of the other guys isn't going to be doubled in a passing situation. And if they're both doubled, guess who better be running free underneath and then make a huge play? Roman Wilson.
I mean, and he will. I've got a lot of confidence and belief in him. Not as much as that jabroni from NFL Network who
said he
claimed
was
going to win Rookie of the Year.
Yeah,
but
Rhett Lewis.
Would you do this trade? This is completely hypothetical. No one's given this to me. Would you trade a 2025 second round pick and Nate? Wait.
Which Herbig do you want to trade?
Which Herbig's the edge rusher?
Nick.
Would you trade a second-round pick in Nick Herbig for DK Metcalf?
Yes. If I said I would trade Alex Highsmith straight up for
Donnie?
Scary Terry McLaurin, the answer is yes.
Yeah, second and Nick Herbig.
Yes. Go find another backup edge rusher. I like Nick Herbig. Nice player.
Seattle probably still wouldn't do that.
Okay. I would do it.
I know, but I...
Quickly.
Yes, so would I. But I'm just saying these things
all right,
out
they
loud.
They asked you to throw a fourth in there, too.
Yeah. Like, timing is interesting to me again. Like, they've got a new coach there. They still have Geno Smith, a new offensive coordinator because Waldron got blown out of there. Like, is it a situation where it comes to a head and a guy wants a fresh start someplace else? And even though the Steelers, we think, have struggled offensively and this hopefully would work in their favor, there are still guys that want to play for Mike Tomlin and want to be coached by him and want to be around him. And might DK Metcalf be one of those guys? So he thinks that the grass is greener here.
Well, he's played for a guy that's the closest analog to Tomlin in terms of player friendliness for the 5 years he's been in the NFL. Pete Carroll took his shirt off to try to have like a flexing, like a pose down with him.
Like, I'm looking this up now. Do DK Metcalf details current relationship with Russell Wilson? Let's see what it says here. After the trade, he said he was still talking to him, quote, probably every day.
So he gets along.
Yeah.
We don't
really talk much competition. It's more checking in with family, checking in on how each other's doing.
Well,
you don't do
nice.
That if you don't like the person
buddies.
Genuinely.
Good buddies. Yeah, I would do it. I mean, I think there's a sort of, when you talk about like an Ayuk type of guy specifically, you know what Debo is. Ayuk, this great route runner, he's just a very good receiver. There is something about DK Metcalf, you just say, that guy is very big, that guy is very fast, that guy's highlight tape is insane. The most impressive play of his entire career is probably one where the ball got picked off and he ran down Buddha Baker like a dad chasing a child in a parking lot. Yes, bring him in here. If you can make a trade for him, I would do
that. I happen to like Metcalf a lot. I really like him. I think you reunite him with Wilson, and you've got Metcalf and Pickens. They're a 7.5 win team right now on FanDuel.
Why do they keep setting it below 9-8?
You get a guy like Metcalf here, I think you're talking about the division again. I think you skyrocket up there, and I think you're right in the conversation with Cincinnati. And I would even put him a little bit ahead of Baltimore in that situation.
Well, I would feel like in Metcalf and Pickens on paper, they don't have the quarterback that Cincinnati has, but you'd look at Higgins and Chase and the fits that they gave, having Boyd as the third option there.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd look at Metcalf, Pickens physically and say it's the similar kind of problem you're presenting to another team.
We're on scuttlebutt watch here. This is a scuttlebutt day.
Would you say scuttlebutt's your favorite thing about the job?
Yeah, my middle name is scuttlebutt.
Oh, you get mad when the rare occasions Donnie and I have scuttlebutt, whether it's office or big picture scuttlebutt.
There was some big office scuttlebutt today that we were
Donnie, he gets very agitated when you
second.
And I have scuttlebutt and he doesn't. He gets antsy. He wants to know.
Yeah, but he's allowed to keep all of the butt.
Oh, my God. The guy might
himself.
As well be Woodward and
the
Bernstein.
Butt to himself.
Oh, he loves the butt.
Yeah.
A couple things here, and then we'll get to phones. Actually, three things. Number one.
Somebody used to do a segment called that on this station.
Yes.
John Seibel. Then he got fired. Anyway, sorry. I didn't want to do inside baseball without explaining it. Keep going.
There's a rumor out there about the Penguins, and Rob Rossi is going to clear that up with us in about 15 minutes regarding Mike Sullivan, what Kevin Weeks is tweeting. Number two. We have Omar Khan here, fresh on McAfee, talking about significant playmaker watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I bleep you not on this, number three, in the 5 minutes since we talked about Metcalf to start the show.
Yeah.
I have gotten now 4 text messages from people saying it's not DK Metcalf. So,
Donnie, I've gotten open 0 text messages.
That open of the show was fun while it lasted, wasn't it?
Well, at least we know that the show or you have power because you're at least get it. We do it. We put that out there. We say, hey, this would be great. I give my epiphany as to why I'm going to stop having low expectations for an Arthur Smith offense as far as wide receivers. And then you get just a cavalcade of people reporting to you that, yeah, you guys can just stop now.
What keeps happening is...
it's whack-a-mole for, like, significant playmakers. It's, here comes DK Metcalf's head popping out of the thing. Wham!
Yep.
Brandon Ayuk. Wham! And so on. Who's going to be the guy... I'm telling you, this is all leading, and you know what CTE ESPN put out there, right?
I didn't see CTE ESPN today.
You know
they have a breaking story?
Yesterday, they had a picture of Mike Wallace in a 17 jersey when they were talking about a significant playmaker. You know who else wears number 17? Terry McLaurin. I'm just telling you, if this comes all the way back around, and I get it.
Well, then here's what I'll do with that one, too. Because I already said I'll get a Steely McBean back tattoo if it's Justin Jefferson. I won't do full back if it's Terry McLaurin. I'll get the tattoo like the fat guy in Philly where his belly button is the mouth for the fanatic. I'll do one on my chest where like one of McBeam's eyeballs is my nipple. How about that? If they trade for Terry McLaurin and you end up being right about that. Donnie, you want to join me on that one?
No.
By the way, Doran still owes Crowley a West Virginia tattoo somewhere on his body.
Yes,
am I not wrong about that?
No, he owes.
No, you're correct.
He also owes you and I
case of beer,
countless
at least.
Cases of beers and bottles of bourbon for bets he's lost to us.
He's several cases, and I think he's 2 to 3 cases in the hole to me. He might be a bottle or two of bourbon in, but I think I would trade all those. I'd say, Doran, I'm wiping my slate clean. I'll even wipe Pony's slate clean. Got to get the tattoo. I just think for him, that's like a bridge too far.
He's the opposite of the Lannister family on Game of Thrones. Their moniker was a Lannister always pays his bets. Dickerson
really?
Always welches on his bets, apparently.
Boy.
With us.
Oh, boy. I didn't say that, Doran. Don't kick my ass.
Here's Omar Khan on McAfee a few minutes ago responding to significant playmaker watch.
You know what? I heard about it. I didn't exactly see it, but... you know, there's nothing going on right now, so I'm not exactly sure what the verbiage was, what was reported, but nothing to report.
I think that could be the calm before the storm. And I'll go back to what Schefter said about Ayuk and Samuel. That dude's not going to want to play this year on $14 million. And the closer we get to the quote-unquote nut-cutting time on that, the mm-hmm. start of the season.
Yep.
The more urgency there is to get something done, whether that's they really negotiate a contract or he gets dealt. And so it went up until the 11th hour on Nick Bosa last year, and he was the defensive player of the year and a guy in his mid-20s, and they didn't really have a Nick Bosa replacement ready to go. They do have an Ayuk replacement now. They drafted him.
They better hope he's that good because most people think they overdrafted him.
Sure, but my point is...
No, they drafted
they
somebody...
They gave themselves leverage in the situation.
In principle, they... Right, they would tell Brandon Ayuk, we drafted 2 guys, but we drafted one of them in the first round. Like, that's what we think of them.
Here is Bill in Fairchance. Hello, Bill.
Hey, how you doing?
We're good.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, I think the Stiller draft was absolutely great. I think we solidified our offensive line for the next 10 years. But we definitely do need a playmaker, a wide receiver. I don't have no trust in Pickens at all like the rest of you guys.
All right, so who do you want to come in? Because
well,
wait a minute.
Who are the rest of us that don't that don't believe in Pickens? I think Mulsey believes Pickens is one of the 2 best receivers in the NFL.
Talent-wise, maybe, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't have that belief or that faith in him. I just think he's a diva before he even was a diva.
A diva before he was a diva.
Well, before he did anything, he acted like
I mean, he led the league. Listen, he led the league last year in yards per reception, and he had almost 1,150 yards.
I get,
and that was with, like, incompetent quarterback play for much of the season.
But I get where he's coming from. Like, he's doing the thing that Antonio Brown did once he got paid, where everybody said his personality and his ego really went off the deep end, and he's picking fights with Dick LeBeau and everything else at training camp, and that was after he got paid. He's doing that before he even becomes a, you know, he's got viral moments. He's got big plays. He's not been an ultra-productive wide receiver yet. He has whole games or multiple weeks where he only has one or two catches, Chris. And part of it is a byproduct of the offense, but star wide receivers don't do that regardless of what offense they're in. Larry Fitzgerald had, you know, complete nincompoops throwing him the ball there for a few years after Kurt Warner and between Warner and Carson Palmer. He still found a way to make plays.
Man, I mean, I still look at a George Pickens game where he goes 4 and 127. They don't beat the Browns without it. He goes 6 and 130 against the Ravens. Don't beat Baltimore without that. He has 107 against the Rams. Like, this is when they were still in, like, the quarterback wilderness.
So you trust him to have a huge breakout year then this year? You think he's going to have
a breakout year for him at this point is him having, like, 1,800 yards because he's already an almost 1,200-yard guy last year.
Okay.
I trust him to be an even a better receiver this year because I think that their quarterback situation, even if it's not by a major degree, will be better. Yes.
Here is Lou on the fan. Hello, Lou.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
You bet, Lou.
And I love you. I love you guys, by the way.
Thank you.
Every day when I'm coming home from work, I turn you guys on, and
thank
I
you.
Love your takes. I love your analysis, everything.
Flattery Thanks will get you everywhere, call. Lou. What do you got for us?
Yeah, where are you on significant playmaker watch, Lou?
I tell you what, if it's DK Metcalf,
well, it's not.
I say take him.
Well, it's not. We already got that slapped down by everybody, so we're kind of bummed out about it.
Spiked like Mutombo at
yeah.
the rim.
Hypothetically so. But hypothetically, if it is him, I'd take him because Ayuk's going to want way too much money. And like you said, he's not going to want to play on a flyer deal. And he's going to want significant money that, I mean, we'd probably pay him, but I don't think we don't have that kind of history of paying guys that kind of money.
Lou,
unless
gonna,
it's TJ.
I'm
going
to put you on hold, and you're going to get the tickets to the concert here at the Rivers Casino.
Stay
so
on the line.
Up from Uniontown.
Stay on the line, Lou.
Maybe you're friends with my neighbor, Howie King, who is a Uniontown man.
Doesn't he live, though, in your neighborhood now?
He does, but he's still very much...
Well, you know where Fairchance, our first caller,
intertwined
called
the
from,
Uniontown
right?
community. Where?
Right near Uniontown.
Is that right?
Fairchance, basically
Never been
up
to
the
Fairchance.
Road.
We should... Would you think they'd welcome us there with open arms?
I'd give them a fair chance.
.93.7 The Fan has an incredible event happening in June. It is our 5-alarm marathon, 26 hours on the air. Benefits the local fire departments of Western PA. You can register your VFD at 937thefan.com. It's going to be up here in Greentree at their volunteer fire department. It is going to be a smorgasbord of fun with fans from all shows, maybe some past hosts popping their heads in, iconic Pittsburgh personalities, former athletes, and more.
Do you?
Presented by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union. 1-800-BOARD-UP, and Hampton Beer Outlet. Yes, Malzi?
Do you think any of the random pairings, because it's going to be us getting paired with people we usually don't work with, are going to go over so well that our boss, Craig, has to take a second and think, wait a minute, should I pair these two together instead?
I think it's entirely possible, yes.
He's going to say, he's going to have the old Eureka moment, a light bulb going off. Somebody told me about Fairchance. They said they live 10 minutes from there. There's a shop and save and a funeral home and not much else. You'll be in Morgantown before you ever realize you were in Fairchance. That's a hell of a way to describe a town.
Speaking of Morgantown, he is West Virginia educated, and he is no doubt dancing to this song as he waits on hold, and that is Penguins insider and Rolling Stones lover.
Oh, he
Rob
is
Rossi,
a lover of the Stones.
Who is already making plans to drive to Cleveland, of all places, to watch the Rolling Stones when they go on tour. Rob, why aren't they coming back to Pittsburgh?
Probably because they're going to Cleveland. I don't think they've been to Cleveland since the 80s, and they've been to Pittsburgh, let's see, 94, 97, 99, 2003, 2014, and 2021.
Rob, what was your gateway song to the Stones? Like, you heard this song, and you said, that's it, I'm a Rolling Stones fan, I'm a diehard.
a great question. The album that was my gateway album was definitely XL on Main Street. My friend, teammate of mine, when I played high school football, TJ Conley at KO, he gave me the album, I think, sometime during my junior year and said, if you really are going to love the Stones, you have to love this album. And I remember turning to put the CD in and just going, wow. So it's probably on that album might have been it was probably All Down the Line, which isn't one of their bigger hits, but it's just kind of a good propulsion song. So,
Rob, your answer here has provoked another question. I've known you a long time. We've talked. We've broken bread. We've hung out at bars. I had no idea you played high school football.
Yes, I was picturing Rob Rossi, the high school football player, during that entire answer. What kind of player were you, Rob? What style?
I was a very bad football player. Great teammate. I knew all the plays. Often ended up being more like a coach than a teammate. I was about 145 pounds, soaking wet, and I played offensive guard and middle linebacker. And anybody that played for me under the late, great coach John Dorham will tell you that I was meant to go into writing about sports, not playing.
I'm imagining that one kid from Little Giants with the glasses, and he's like flexing in front of the mirror right now.
I had a really bad concussion my sophomore year.
Oh, geez.
Early during 3-a-days. I was hospitalized for it.
3-a-days?
I ended up having to wear a Kelso helmet, if you remember.
Mark Kelso, the Bill safety.
My mom taught Mark Kelso as a substitute teacher.
Yeah. So my nickname in high school was Rock because I think I fell like a bag of rocks when I got hit and got concussed. And then they kind of called me the Great Kazoo, too, because, again, like back then you wore these like really huge shoulder pads. I'll show you a picture one day. It's laughable how bad I looked in a football.
Maybe laughable, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe that's the appropriate word to describe what's going on with the Penguins rumors, because you have Nick Kyprios in Canada. And then you have what was described to me as possible engagement farming by Kevin Weeks with pictures of the Clemente Bridge and then a tweet before that talking about if things break right, a coach might break Mike Babcock's record for highest annual salary amid Mike Sullivan rumors to the Devils. So is it laughable, Rob, or is there something to it?
I don't think it's laughable. I mean, I just posted a story at The Athletic about an hour or so ago, and, you know, Kyle Dubas told me that the Devils have not asked for permission nor been granted permission to speak with Mike Sullivan. But, I certainly haven't reported that it's not possible. I think that, you know, the fact that the Devils hadn't asked for permission and the Penguins haven't granted it means that we're just in this period right now where Mike Sullivan's still the coach of the Penguins, and wherever it goes from there, I can't tell you, but
did you expect Dubas to just flatly say to you, Mike Sullivan is our coach, he's not going anywhere, and he didn't?
Well, no, I specifically asked about the Devils.
Okay.
And I talked to people over the weekend about this situation, and look, I'll just say this. The reality of the situation is that this was a coach that signed a contract under a previous management, and most GMs do eventually want their own guy in the job, but that doesn't mean something's going to happen. All I know is that, again, somebody with the Devils told me that if Mike Sullivan were a free agent, they would have a lot of interest in him, which is in that story, and that Dubas said they haven't asked for permission. I think probably beyond that, it would just be speculation, and I don't want to get into that.
Rob, how do you think, just hypothetically, that, like, say this actually permission was granted and they work something out, everyone expects Sidney Crosby to sign an extension very soon after or on July 1st. If there was no more Mike Sullivan here, how would that affect Crosby, do you think? How would he feel about that?
Not at all. I'm highly confident that anything that's being discussed, I'm highly confident that if there's anything being discussed on anything, that Sidney Crosby's being kept in the loop. I mean, he's more than just the best player on the team. He is the franchise. And That doesn't mean he's going to get to handpick the next head coach, or that he even would want to if there is, or that he would demand that Mike Sullivan stay if he stays. But there's no chance there's no chance Sidney Crosby isn't being kept in the loop about anything that may or may not be going on with the Penguins or guarding staff, teammates, anything. Like, you know, they kept him in the loop with regards to Kyle Dubas. He's that guy here. There is no more influential athlete in the league or in this city than Sidney Crosby. So he's going to be kept in the loop for everything. But he's going to sign.
Rob Rossi.
That's not a factor.
Penguins insider over at The Athletic and former great high school player slash coach. I'm going to put the coach.
Hardly. He was basically like the Bill Russell of football in that way.
The
player
Pete Rose,
coach. Yeah, he wasn't exactly.
On Seton LaSalle to beat them.
I was so good at football, guys, that I became a hockey writer. What's that tell you?
Fair.
All right, Rob. I've got nothing.